A lot cheaper, too.
She lives at home, eh?
Oh, and they paid the tuition. I said, is that for one semester or the whole year? He said, it's the whole year. I said, are you sure?
Yeah.
It was half of one semester.
Where's she going? She's going to
Europe? Yeah.
Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue going right along. We're in the sixth chapter. Perek Vav, Hilchos Yontif, Halacha Aleph. Chapter 6, Law 1. And in the Mazanayim text is page 254 and 255. And the topic for today, and probably tomorrow, and maybe the next day, is the topic of Erev Tavshilin. So just a little bit off.
Late.
Just a little late. But
okay.
But,
next
but it's going to come again next year this time. So you're going to get...
Doesn't apply Pesach.
No, we're going to get three more Erev Tavshilins a year from now. So now you're really learning Lishma.
Is next year the same as this year? Or does it
exactly the same?
Well, next year is the same. And
exactly
then
the same.
Because I knew it was 3 out of 4, but I wasn't sure.
4 out of 5.
Oh, 4 out of 5.
and then the next year is regular, and then the next... Malcolm's here somewhere. I don't know where he is. He didn't see you. Maybe he's down the hallway. I don't know, but he's here. Okay, so we'll start with Halacha Aleph. We're gonna, by the time we're done with this, we're really going to have the ins and outs of Erev Tavshilin. Okay. Now, please bear in mind, not until tomorrow, the earliest, will we get into the idea of the 2 days of Yontif in Chutz La'aretz. Okay. So we're just going to learn this right now in terms of 1 day of Yontif. So we'll take it slowly, and then we'll get both ideas. And
so
the question you asked a couple weeks ago will be addressed.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be addressed.
But really, that's only then if...
You'll see.
In Israel, you only have that for Rosh Hashanah, and that's it.
Right. Right.
Uh-huh.
But still, I mean, you have to know, even if it's 1 day, you have to know the laws.
I just wondered when it would happen. Thank you.
So we'll see. Okay, Yontif Shechol Yeis Erev Shabbos. If a Yontif comes out on Erev Shabbos, Ein Oifin U'mavashim B'Yontif Masha Oichol L'mocher B'Shabbos. The regular law is, you're not allowed to bake or cook on Yontif for the needs of what you have to eat tomorrow on Shabbos. This is without making an Erev Tavshilin. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to do it. So, why is this, and what's it based on? So let's just read a little bit more. The Isur Zeh Midivrei Soifrim. This is a rabbinical prohibition. It's not a biblical prohibition. It's a rabbinical prohibition. Kedei shel yavo levashel miyontif uchol. So one should not come to cook from a yontif to a weekday. You know, that is already, you cannot cook on yontif. Say yontif is on a Wednesday. You can't cook on Wednesday. The food you're going to eat on Thursday. That you know you're not allowed to do. So the rabbis made a decree that if you cook from Friday to Shabbos, you might think you could cook on when Yontif's on a Wednesday, from Wednesday to Thursday. So therefore the rabbis don't want you to do this. And they figure, Shekava Homer, that's an a fortiori argument. If, with Shabbos Einu Mavashu, if we don't allow you to cook from Yontif to Shabbos, Kol Shekein L'chol, all the more so you cannot cook from a yontif to a weekday. Now, let's try to understand. So what is this? No. So what is this really saying? Remember, really, you could, biblically, you could cook from yontif to Shabbos. Because Shabbos is a higher level.
Also, because you can't cook on Shabbos.
Cook on Shabbos, etc., etc. So biblically, you may cook.
It says you can in the Torah.
We have to see. But clearly the halacha is you can cook on a biblical level from Friday, Yontif, to Shabbos. Okay? But the rabbis were afraid that if people would cook from Friday, Yontif, to Shabbos, they'll think I'm allowed to cook from Yontif to any day that comes after Yontif. So if it's Yontif's on a Wednesday, you'll cook on a Thursday. And then that's for sure not allowed. So if they figure if you can't cook from Friday to Shabbos, then for sure you can't cook from Wednesday to Thursday. Right? That is the gist of this idea. So now the Mefarshim said a little bit more, that the rabbis relied their law on the Psukim. It says like this, when dealing with the Mun, it says, Moshe said, this is what Hashem said, that this is a Shabbos for Hashem tomorrow. And this is a little wording that Moshe used. He says, that which you need to bake, bake. That which you need to cook, cook. So that's what the Psukim says. So the Gemara analyzes and says, we can't cook bread on Yontif that comes out in Erev Shabbos. except on something that's already been baked from before. And you can't cook items for on Yontif or Shabbos unless something's been already cooked from before, from the day before Yontif. And that's the hint in the Torah to Erev Tavshilin. In other words, the Pasuk says, that which you will bake, you bake. Meaning to say, that which you're going to need for baking from Yontif to Shabbos, you have to already have baked before. So that's the hint to Erev Tavshilin that's coming up now in the next line of the Rambam. So therefore, again, biblically, you could cook from Yontif to Shabbos. There's no problem there. But the rabbis were afraid, if you're going to cook from Yontif to Shabbos, you cook from Yontif to another day. So therefore, the rabbis therefore said you can't. Let's keep reading the Rambam. But, lefikach im osa tavshel me'erev Yontif, if you make a cooked dish, an erev Yontif, she is so mechalot that you rely on that. Umavashel va'oifa v'yomtif to Shabbos, and you now cook and bake on Yomtif to Shabbos, hareza mutar. Now it's allowed. And this baked, this cooked dish that we rely on, that we make before Yontif, hu anikra eruve tavshilin. This is what we call the eruv tavshilin, which in halacha base, he will go into further detail to explain this. So,
was the rabbi reading directly from the Torah?
What?
Was that directly from the Torah?
What's directly
that, that hint?
The hint is from the Torah, but it's not direct.
No, I appreciate that. But it's a hint.
In other words, that Torah is hinting that if you've baked before, you can continue to bake.
Right.
If you've cooked before, you can continue to cook. We'll see why in a second. But that's the idea. So it's kind of like back and forth. Like, in other words, it's like the rabbis are doing a lot of rabbinic machinations here.
Right.
If you look on a biblical level, no problem. Cook for Yontif to Shabbos, finished.
First they exclude, and then
the rabbis say no. But then you're going to come on to cooking from Yontif to a weekday. So we don't want that to happen. So now, if you make the Erev Tavshilin before, which is another rabbinic thing, so one rabbinic will take care of the other rabbinic issue, and then we won't come on to making the cooking on from Yontif to another day. Now, this is all okay. One second. So this concern that if we, or rather statement that if we don't cook for Shabbos, from Yontif to Shabbos, all the more so we won't cook from Yontif to a weekday. This goes according to Rav Ashi, who's from the later rabbis of the Gemara, but according to Shmuel and Rava, there's another reason. In other words, the reason, we said now so you shouldn't come to cook from Yontif to a weekday. But there's other reasons mentioned in the Gemara, that it's for covet Shabbos, in honor of the Shabbos. The Torah says, Zachas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, remember the Shabbos and sanctify it. When you say remember it, and because it's possible to forget it. How could you forget it? You could forget to prepare the needs of Shabbos because of Yontif, which you're busy with that. In other words, here's a whole different reason now. In other words, you're very busy with Yontif, and you're cooking on Yontif. Right? And let's say Simchas Torah, right? You know, you're busy dancing and this thing and that and all these things. And can you imagine, you come home now, and it's very close to Shabbos, so you didn't cook anything for Shabbos. So that would be lacking in the covered Shabbos. So therefore, they made the Erev that you should allocate from before Yontif. Allocate a good portion for Shabbos, and also a good portion for Yontif. All right? And that way you'll remember Shabbos before by cooking before. In other words, they're kind of saying, you can't cook, we won't let you cook exclusively on Erev Yontif for Shabbos, because we're just afraid you're going to forget to cook on Yontif that's Erev Shabbos. And therefore, the only way we allow you to do anything is that we say, you've got to really start the cooking before Yontif. You already have to have your Shabbos meal, as it were, prepared for Yontif as well, before Yontif, as well as the Yontif meal prepared. In other words, you gotta really do something before Yontif so you won't forget it on Shabbos. That's a second reason. Rambam doesn't bring that reason, but it's an equally valid reason why we should do this. Now, of course, now the question then becomes, so why do you call it an Eruv? What does this have to do with the word Eruv? It's a very strange word to call it. So that's halacha base. The lama nikra shmo Eruv, so why do we call it an Eruv? Eruv usually means some kind of a mixture, right? So what is that? Shekashem she'erev shoshim b'chatzeros umuvos b'erev Shabbos mishum heker. Well, there's another kind of erev that exists, right? One's called an erev chatzeros. What's an erev chatzeros? In other words, there's a chatzer, there's a courtyard. Even though it is a, what do you call it, an enclosed domain, and we, it's like a Rishus HaYachid, but there's many people who have rights to go into it, the rabbis say you can't walk, carry something into that area unless you've made an Eruv Chatzeros. Okay? So just, now why do we do that? So we do this, Me'erev Shabbos, on the eve of Shabbos, Mishum Heker, for recognition, meaning to say, so you shouldn't make the mistake and think you can carry from one domain to another. Words, in other words, if we allow you to carry in a private domain that's a chutzner. Remember, a chutzner is still like a classic chutzner. It's a, you go out of your house. It's open to the sky, right? Just so happens a number of homes all open up into the same area and happen to be enclosed. So on a biblical level, why can't I carry from my house to the next guy's house? We're all in an enclosed area. Mm-hmm. But the rabbis say, if I'm going to carry from my house to my friend's house in the enclosed area, then you know what? It's not going to be very far of a stretch for me to carry it from my house to go right out of the chatzer into Rishus HaRabim. So rabbis are afraid about that. So therefore we make this Eruv Chatzeris as a hecker, as a recognition, something unique that says, no, only because there's the Eruv are you allowed to carry. Otherwise, you would not be allowed to carry. So just like that concept exists over there, right? So kach zeh hatavshel, so this thing we cook, this dish that we cook now, mishum hekar v'zikaron, it's for recognition and remembrance. Kidei shel yidamu v'yachshu, so nobody should make a mistake and think, shemut alefas b'yom tov, ma she'en lecho bo v'yom. The person could think, I can cook on yom tov for something for the next day that's not a yom tov. That to know that, no, it's only because I've done something before Yom Tov, and now it allows me to cook for Shabbos, and I won't make a mistake and think I can cook for Shabbos. So therefore we call this Tavshil an Eruv Tavshil. In other words, it's a borrowed term. In other words, the word Eruv really does not apply to this type of Eruv that we're making here. The word Eruv does fit into Chatzeres. Eruv means to mix into, as being one batch. So when you have a Chatzer with many homes, that Eruv like makes everybody mixed as one. It gives it the status to remind us that this is a Rishus HaYochid that's mixed with people together, right?
So word, like when we construct an Eruv just generally, that it's one, all these people's one private domain?
Well, sort of. But here, the word, but here,
no, but I'm
here the word Eruv has no real meaning
right
here. But since we already have one type of machination that helps us to not, forget to make any mistakes.
Sort of
it's a similar thing, but really the wrong thing, the word Eruv really does not fit per se. It's not a good, help of understanding the nature of it by using that word Eruv, but it functions similarly to another Eruv where the word Eruv is applicable. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other hand, that is the way the Rambam is consistent with the way he's learning why we made this whole idea of the Eruv so you shouldn't come on to cook from Yom Tov to a weekday. But according to the other rabbis of the Gemara that the Rambam did not quote, is that you shouldn't forget about Shabbos. So then the word Eruv, though, is more appropriate, as the Ravid says, because now you are ma'arev, you are mixing the needs for Shabbos and the needs for Yom Tov, making them together. In other words, so I'm preparing something before Shabbos and certainly preparing stuff before Yom Tov. Without any Eruv, I'm preparing food for Yom Tov. That's not with a question, right? On Wednesday, we're all cooking for Yom Tov. But I'm mixing in the cooking for Yom Tov. I'm mixing in cooking for Shabbos already before Yom Tov. So then the word mixing fits in much better if you learn it like that. Okay, so this is the idea behind Eruv Tavshil, why we make it. So it's either to make sure we won't make the mistake and cook from Yom Tov to a weekday, so it's a recognition that shows, no, it's for Shabbos, which is allowed, or is that we shouldn't forget about Shabbos and come up empty-handed without anything to eat for Shabbos.
What does Tavshil mean?
Tavshil means a cooked dish. Tavshil, a cooked dish.
So I understand that, you know, the concerned that if you went to a courtyard, but you might walk outside and go across the road to your friend's place. So that's why you need that
Eruv. You need a recognition.
Right. I can understand that someone could make that mistake, but I don't understand how could someone say, I'm not talking a secular person, but how could somebody who's observant not make a distinction between, yes, I know I can cook on Yontif for Shabbos, I know I can't cook on Yontif for a weekday.
You don't need that. By the nature of questions I get from people, trust me, it's not an unusual mistake for people to make.
Not
everybody thinks so logically. They just figure,
I can cook.
Are people who just aren't very intelligent. They're not discriminating. Not everyone's so learned, right? Like, you got this idea. I can cook from Yontif for another day.
Shabbos is a clear distinction.
Okay, but people make it. The rabbis obviously saw that people would have in their nature to make this mistake. We have to trust them. But I see questions like simple things. You say simple things and people just don't get it. And you try to say, ask yourself, what planet are these people from? Don't they understand the sim? The answer is no, they don't. It's so foreign to them.
At least they're asking.
Even an observant Jew, it's foreign. They say, well, you did this, why couldn't you do this? You cooked from Yontif for something after Yontif. So what? It was Shabbos. But they say, oh, I could have guessed, I was cooked from Yontif. And since Yontif isn't as strict as Shabbos, right? Because you can cook already anyway. And you say, I guess you cook for something beyond Yontif. So beyond them, it doesn't have to only be Shabbos, but another day. It's not that krum. You don't have to be so misguided to think that way. You're looking at it from, it's cooking into Shabbos. Why don't you just say, I'm preparing from Yontif for another day?
I'm just saying
it's another day. Another day is Shabbos. But not everybody necessarily, thinks that Shabbos is as special as another day. People are not necessarily so learned. Now everybody knows. You got to make an Erev Tavshilin. Oh, what are you making an Erev Tavshilin for? Because you can only do this for Shabbos. You can't do it for another day. So then that makes it much more of a recognition that people won't make that kind of mistake. So no end to the mistakes people can make.
So one more question. If, for example, the other day Susan boiled an egg and took a piece of a challah bun and I put it away, right?
Right.
But that's at best one meal, shalashutas. But how does that give you the right or the liberty to cook all the other meals? That's just one little piece.
Because we've begun the process already.
But that's started and finished.
To continue.
You're done.
It's a sign, though.
Just like, what's an heir of Chatzera's help? All we did is take a couple of matzahs and put it in my house.
It's a sign.
It's a sign to say, because we have an heir, that's why. It's a sign doesn't have to be a major to-do. Now, according to the other rabbis of Gemara, you're right. We'll see when we go into the halachas, really the heir of Tavshon, lechatchila, should be an extremely nice piece. We're going to see, the reason why they used the egg over the centuries was because it's the best thing that can go without refrigeration. Mm-hmm. It was a technical thing. What? But really, you should use something much nicer and something that really can befit the Yontif table.
That egg needed refrigeration.
An egg can go a day without refrigeration. It's not going to spoil that. Hard-boiled egg can go for a day.
But
we're talking about a hard-boiled egg. It has to be a hard-boiled egg.
This has to be 2 days.
What do you do if you didn't have refrigerators and you had egg? Oh, I guess the chicken laid it the next day.
Okay. No, you had an egg on air of Yontif.
No, but if you didn't boil it. Let's say, and you needed to keep eggs for a couple of days.
That's a different question.
Okay, that's another question.
can I just ask
you? We deal with so much, guys.
You had chickens, so they laid them every day.
Hard enough to teach the Rambam.
You didn't need a fridge.
I'm wondering about leftovers. Is cooking a specific meal?
Okay, we're going to get into that. Let's wait till we get into the halachas. There's a lot of halachas. We'll talk about what you could use for Erev Tavshilin.
No, but I'm even wondering, if you cook something on Yontif, and it's followed by a weekday, and there's leftovers.
You could always eat leftovers because you're supposed to cook in abundance for Yontif, but you're not cooking the left. You're not cooking this big turkey because you want to have leftovers for the day after Yontif. Cooking a big turkey because that's the way you make a nice turkey on Yontif.
The prohibition is cooking.
Even if you got to buy a whole turkey. Right? In the olden days, you didn't buy half a turkey. You bought a whole turkey. You had to shech the whole turkey.
You bought a whole cow.
You had to bake the whole turkey.
Right.
What if there's only four people in the family? You ain't eating that whole turkey on Yontif, but you can't eat a half a turkey. can't shecht half a turkey.
Right.
You're shechting the whole turkey. You're gonna have a whole turkey. You know you're gonna have, but I'm not doing it at all because I want
to
have leftovers. Can always eat leftovers. That's not a problem.
Doesn't you have to last 3 days though? Because you cook it before.
Okay. Yeah. So what's the problem?
Hard-boiled they can last 3 days in Israel in the heat.
In Israel, it's only one day.
It's only one day, except in Rosh Hashanah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead. Gimel. Now,
whites will probably be okay.
A ruve tavshilin. How big, or rather, the minimum amount of an erev tavshilin? Shi'uro ein pachas miksayis. You can't make it less than a kezayis, size of an olive. That's pretty small. Bein la'echad, regardless if it's a erev tavshilin from one person. Let's say you're a single person living in your house, and it's only one person eating. So there's not a lot of food that you're preparing for. Bein la'lofim, or whether it's for thousands. You know, let's say it's a yeshiva. Let's say the yeshiva, everyone, let's say all the brachim are in yeshiva for yontif, right? So the cook is cooking for a thousand people.
You just need one egg for all of those people.
That's right. It's one person making one eruv with one egg for thousands because we've begun the cooking process. Now, the next lines we're going to read, we're going to see lahalacha, we don't hold like this next line, so don't get too nervous. Bein osin erzel lo bepas, you don't make the eruv out of bread, for lo berifos, and not out of refos. Refos is smashed wheat.
It says cereal here.
All right, cereal, whatever. You don't make it out of that. And the Magid Mishnah explains in the Rambam, it appears in the Rambam, that bread is not part of the Erev at all. You know, completely not part of the Erev. And there are other Rishon Muhol like this. However, the Magid Mishnah himself says that it's customary to include bread in the Erev. And there's other Rishonim say Bedavka, there has to be bread included. And they have a very simple rationale. The rationale is, listen, what do you want to do for Shabbos? You want to cook and you want to bake for Yontif.
One bake, one cook.
So it should have one cook dish and one bake dish. They go with that opinion. Mm-hmm. And the Shulchan Aruch says that it's proper to have both a bread and a portion of a cooked food in the Erev. L'chatchila. B'diyeved. The Erev is acceptable even if you don't have bread, and that is the halacha. So if, as the Rambam himself says, shouldn't have bread, not to have bread. So really we should, the halacha is you should have bread plus another cooked dish, but if you don't, the main thing, everybody agrees, the main thing is the cooked dish, as opposed to the bread.
You have a problem if you just bake.
So bidi evit. Let's say you just took the egg and you didn't have the challah for whatever reason, it would still be a good erev tavshilin and you wouldn't have to worry about it. Huh. And you could still bake and do all the things. So this Rambam we don't hold like.
If you didn't have the egg and you cook something else.
We'll see. Let's keep reading. So you can't use a bread. You can't use refos, cereal, whatever. Ukiyatim. Ella, what do we do? That's that word again. Bitavshil. See? Tavshil, look at the root. Comes what root do you see in the word tavshil? What three letter root do you see there?
Bishel.
Bishul. What's bishul?
Cook.
Cooking. So you see, tavshil means a cooked dish. It's called an erev tavshilin. So it's a cooked dish. So the Rambam says we take it literally. Only a cooked dish, not a baked dish. Shuhu parperis. That it's a parperis. Parperis means something that's eaten with bread. In other words, it goes with bread, you know, especially if you're Mediterranean and you don't have any silverware, right? So your pita bread, your pita bread is more the utensil. You eat everything, chicken, this, not just a condiment, Howard, a main dish that goes with bread, that's scooped up with bread. Kigon, for example, basar, meat, the vidagim, fish, ubeitzim, and eggs, ukiyotzim, and similar things like that. So these are the main things for an erev tavshilin. Now he goes how extreme we can go here. Even the beans at the bottom of the barrel, at the bottom of the pot, right? You know, go get the beans at the bottom of a cholent pot, after end of Shabbos, right? Even the fats that's on this knife, when you cut roasted meat, then the fat congeals on the knife. Unless you have a long knife with a big, thick congeal, so now you go, and you got this big, thick wad of fat.
Yeah,
right? Gordo, you scrape it off, And in yesh bo kezayis, of a kezayis of schmaltz fat, soymech alav, you can rely on that mishum eruv tavshilim for the erev tavshilim. This is certainly not the lachatchila way to do it, but if you're in a concentration camp, God forbid, or very impoverished, this is still, it's a cooked dish. Again, it's not the lachatchila, but pidiyevet, it falls in that category. Now, dalet. Tavshil sha'amru inyan erev, that when we talk about a tavshil, a cooked dish, it includes any kind of cooking. Afilu tzolui, even roasted. Afilu shaluk, even boiled for a long time. In other words, more than the usual. It's not just simple cooking. It's like boiling for a long time. Afilu kovush, even with kovush. Kovush means it's you're letting it soak in liquid for a 24-hour period, or you soak it in vinegar or brine. So, and it really cooks it up itself. That is a type of cooking, letting it soak and get pickled and things like that.
Gravlax.
What?
Gravlax.
Whatever.
It's smoked salmon. That is, it's pressed and it's uh-huh. marinated.
Okay.
But do you have to actually do it?
Or you don't.
Can you buy it? Like, if you buy
you can buy it that way. That's fine. You don't have
to. So you don't have to do it Erev Yontif?
Well, somebody else did it for you. You
did
bought
you,
it.
A month ago. I mean, if you bought it, didn't matter?
Well, it doesn't seem to matter. Oma ushan or was smoked, v'afilu dogim kadanim sheidichem b'mayim chamim, or even little fish that you washed in very hot water, v'adochasam hi v'shulam lachila, and the washing it makes cooks it. I guess you have very thin fish.
Boiling water.
Scald, you know, you what do you call it? You scald it, and a very small fish, it'll cook it.
So if you buy a barbecue chicken, you can decide.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything yourself. You just buy a barbecue chicken.
What's
and
it? You baked it, or somebody baked it for you, and you bought it.
Buy,
so
a
no
of, buy a little thing of Lux and bring it for Shalda Shudas.
If Lux, Lux, how's it cured?
Smoked.
Yeah. You could do that too.
According to Rambam. Like a potato bake salad or something.
Yeah. All these things, it doesn't have to be an egg.
I thought you had to do it. You don't have
well, obviously, it would be better if you do it. Well, let's say a guy's a bachelor. He comes, you know, before Shabbos. He doesn't have time to cook.
To boil an egg?
And you can say the bracha over the, you know, someone else.
What? But it's yours. You own it.
Yeah.
You bought it. You owned it. You've made your preparations for Shabbos. Not, what do you do? What a guy does not a cook.
You boil a potato. I mean, you don't have to.
Not cook. Ever, whatever. Not a cook.
You're traveling on the road. You know, you don't
you know,
have
you, to. You've
eat.
Made. Oh, it's a hecker. Is it a hecker? Is it a recognition? You've taken this thing. You've
you
bought
say,
it. You've set
Shabbos.
It aside.
So
you've said this is for Shabbos. What sense if you make it? But it has to be something that was cooked. So that would make that fine.
I contain a potato salad.
Okay. Now, where are we now? Hey.
Boiling water or fish.
Yeah, they're not.
Right? Vitzorach shiyya. Hey. Vitzorach shiyya. Eruv zeh motzui. This Erev has to be around until you've baked everything that you want to bake. And you cook everything you want to cook. And to boil up water as you need. In other words, that Erev has to be around the whole time you're making these preparations, let's say on Erev Yontif.
Right.
You've made the Erev, I'm sorry, you made the Erev on Erev Yontif. Now you're cooking on Yontif for Shabbos. So you can only cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos as long as that Eruv is still around. Why? Because that's the hecker. That's the hecker. That's the recognition, or according to the other opinion, that's making sure that I have something for Shabbos.
You just don't eat it before Shabbos.
But if that's lost, then what happens? Or you ate it, then what happens? You've lost the hecker. You've lost that recognition. You now have lost something that you're saving for Shabbos. So that's going to be a problem. V'imnechal ha'erev, what if the erev gets eaten up by mistake? O avad, o gets lost, o nisraf, or gets burnt, kodim shiavashal, before you finish cooking and baking and all that stuff. Ha'reze osor lefos ulavashal olachem, you're prohibited from baking or cooking or heating up. But what could you do? All you can do is cook, bake, and do for what you need for yontif. So now, very interesting. You'll note the footnote over here on 257 says a very interesting thing. So he says, where is this? The Ravid says, no.
13.
Yeah, point 13. So he says you can do like this. So let's say you did the following. Let's say you had the Erev, and now on Yom Tov, that's Erev Shabbos, you already have cooked significant amount for Shabbos.
Right.
But you're not finished, let's say. So now what you could do is, you can't cook anymore for Shabbos, but I could cook for Yom Tov day still.
And then the stuff you cooked for Yom Tov you can use?
And so then the stuff that I cooked for Shabbos before, I can, it's already cooked.
And anything
you hear the point? Once you've eaten the Erev Tashrei, you can't cook anything for Shabbos.
Right.
Let's say even better. Let's say you cooked a certain amount of food before Yom Tov. Let's say you cooked enough food in your mind. You cooked enough food. What you cooked, let's say on let's say it's one day Yom Tov. Make it easy. Let's say on Erev Yom Tov, you cooked everything you need for Yom Tov. Okay. Now comes Yom Tov by mistake. What you do in the morning? You went and ate the Erev Tashrei. So now you're stuck. I can't cook anything today on Yom Tov for Shabbos the next day, right? Well, what could you do?
Cook on Yom Tov.
Let's say it happened in the morning. So I still have to cook lunch. So what I could do is I can cook lunch for Shabbos, even though I already have food for Yom Tov, even though I have food for Yom Tov, and I could say now that food that was for Yom Tov can now be for Shabbos because that was cooked
before
the Erev Tashrei was consumed.
So
that's the leniency you can do. But you gotta be careful not to eat that Erev Tashrei.
It doesn't matter if someone else in the
house
eats it.
That creates major problems, eating that Erev Tashrei.
Let's say boil a dozen eggs.
So good, eat one of those. As long as there's a kezias left, well, it might be a better idea. You can't say one of those, you have to know which one is the Erev Tashrei. You could say all 12 is the Erev Tashrei.
Yeah, but then if you eat one of the 12, you're in trouble.
No, as long as you have a kezias left.
Okay.
Although you shouldn't eat any of it. But let's say, you're going to need a dozen eggs for Shabbos. So you boil up a dozen eggs, and in case a couple get eaten, you still have something left over, so you're okay. That's why it's always good to put the Erev Tashrei away. If you're doing the classic egg and challah, put it on top of the fridge. You don't just leave it in the fridge, and then somebody goes and, I am surprised that an entrepreneurial person in Borough Park hasn't come up with an Erev Tashrei bag. Fancy. This is the Erev Tashrilin. You know what I'm saying? Not to touch, and you with strings and gold lining and all this for $49.99, covered Yom Tov. I'm surprised that it hasn't come yet. Maybe it hasn't.
If you don't keep it, in the fridge or whatever, it's not so consumable on Shabbos. It gets a little ratty.
You certainly can. I'm just saying, you got to be careful not to
put
eat
in a bag,
it. Or put it in a bag and mark it, Erev
Tashrei.
You could put it in the freezer for that matter. No problem, put it in the freezer. Let's say you have challah. You have a piece of challah. You made a challah on Wednesday and ain't eat until Shabbos.
Yeah.
3 days, might not taste good. You could put it in the freezer.
We don't have a problem.
And take it out of the freezer and you have it on Shabbos. So that's,
there is one other solution. You come to the rabbi, ask a question, get invited for lunch.
That's right. There's always that possibility.
Isn't there
get invited.
A story that you can rely on the era of.
We're going to talk about that.
Does it say who can eat it?
Who can eat what?
On Shabbos?
Yeah.
Well, you should be eating it. Somebody in your family.
Yeah, but anyone. Is it anyone?
What
do you mean? No, anybody in the. You're doing it for the whole house. You making it for your whole family. Anybody can.
Does the man make it for the whole family? Because
yes,
the wife is going to be doing the cooking.
Traditionally, the man makes it. We'll see in the next halacha, but traditionally.
It's okay if the wife makes it.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about it.
Both.
Okay, let's continue. Now, what happened now? So we said you can't eat the Erev Tashrei, right? So let's say like this. How about if the following happened? Hischol b'isoso. He starts to make a dough on Yom Tov to make it for Shabbos. O b'tavshilo. He starts to cut, let's say, the vegetables for Shabbos. And then, in the middle, his kid went and ate the Erev Tashrei. And you see a little four-year-old going in the house, ooh, that was a very good challah, Ima. He says, which challah did you eat? Erev Tashrei. And she was in the middle of the dough, in the middle of this and that. Now, what would the pure halacha, you think, would say?
Stop.
Can't do it. Let the dough rot. Let the vegetables rot. So no, we v'nechol ha'erev, and if the erev gets eaten in the interim, avad it gets lost. Hareze gomer, you can finish to bake and to cook what you did for Shabbos, because then that would be a waste of the food, which we don't want that to happen. It's only so far we're going to take this decree, and we'll continue tomorrow exactly who makes it and how do we make it.
So you don't have to designate that for Yom Tov and then. use the other stuff for Shabbos, like what we said before, you don't have to play the trick.
Well, you don't have to come on to playing the trick.
Right.
I mean, you definitely, if you wanted to, you could take this dough and cook it for Yontif.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
But you're saying you don't have to, because you already started, that's already, for every step, say you're going to waste it and throw it out, that already, they didn't go that far.